Transfer complete.
Hello and welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the bridge,
this is Tyler Orton being forced to choose between his own children.
Oh dear.
Cam, what is our conundrum this week?
Well, Tyler, this week's conundrum is best and worst Star Trek seasons.
But Cam, they're all gold. How could
You're
this
right.
be?
So on that note, our assignment is complete.
No, you know, so here's the thing. I think this could have been a very unwieldy episode if we just listed our favorite Star Trek seasons followed by our least favorite Star Trek seasons.
We'll do them in order, like from best to worst.
Yeah.
So let me start with...
We'd have, what, 28 seasons to get through?
Yeah.
What we decided to do is that we would tackle what's the best season one, which franchise did the best season one, which franchise did the best season two, and go from there. This will also make it some tougher choices and kind of spark a little bit more debate than what
it was.
The other
brutally tough, brutally tough.
Oh, yeah.
When you got to some of the higher numbers.
Yes. Let's just get started with it, Cam. I don't know if there's going to be much debate for this pick between you and I, but I'll start off. Best season one, I give that to Star Trek, the original series.
Not Voyager?
Not Voyager.
What?
Yeah.
But that has the greatest cliffhanger of all time.
Yes, learning curve in which Tuvok wears sweatpants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, but look, season one, you've got gold. You've got, you know, City on the Edge of Forever, Space Seed, Menagerie, Galileo 7.
Just, Arena, Corbomite Maneuver, Balance of Terror, Shore Leave, Devil in the Dark. Yeah.
It's not just gold, Cam. It's gold-pressed latinum.
It is the greatest episodes of the original series, and not just that, but some of the greatest Star Trek episodes of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a miracle introduction to this series. I mean, how many series can boast a first season of all-timer episodes? I mean, yeah, you know, we've talked in the past how it starts a little bumpy. You know, you've got Mantrap, you've got Charlie X, you've got some episodes that, while maybe fun or, you know, solid, aren't all-timers. But once it gets going, my God.
Are there... there's one other season one episode from a different franchise that I would be able to name as an all-timer. A duet from season one of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Other than that, are there any other all-timers? I'm talking about top 10 potential best episodes from other franchises that you can think of.
People really love Data Lore. They're not going to say that that's an all-time one of the all-time greats.
I'm talking about all-time greats here. The ones that you could stack up versus, say, Arena or, you know, Space Seed.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
And this is the fantastic stuff.
No. No, I've got nothing from Enterprise either that I unexpected maybe.
There you go.
Dear Lord. This was my pick too for the best. I mean, I think this one's kind of a gimme.
Okay.
The original series. Really, there's only three duds in there. And one of them is a major and the other two are minors. You have the Alternative Factor, which I think is the worst episode, one of the worst episodes of the original series ever with Lazarus. God, I hate this episode so much.
You've brought it up before, yeah.
I can't wait for you to watch it. Okay. I know our friend, fallen co-host Benjamin Yong watched it not too long ago, and he was like, what the hell was that?
What do you mean by our friend?
Fallen friend.
Yes.
The other two kind of duds, Miri and Return of the Archons. Return of the Archons is actually a really good premise. I just don't think it's delivered as well as it could be.
I'm surprised. I have watched Miri at this point.
Yeah.
That one's...
it's pretty dumb.
Yeah. It's not, say, Code of Honor bad season one, but
yeah.
It's pretty lame.
Pretty lame. I guess you could say also The Enemy Within is a little dopey.
Yeah, and incredibly rapey.
Yeah.
Like, profoundly disturbing.
Yeah. But it's not like an all-time worst episode. It's just like not a good episode.
It's one that I have no interest in ever revisiting just because of how disturbing the attempted rape scene was against Janice Rand.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't believe that was on television back in the day.
Just wait till, you know, the next season there's another episode that's equally unsettling.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, The Enemy Within is an episode that's interesting because it's, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's actually a pretty good idea for an episode. It's just it takes an angle on it that just doesn't work, and it really runs out of gas.
I think the other thing that we should bring up with season one, though, is like it had the ability to spark off just some of the most iconic stuff. I think there's a lot of season one episodes that we actually listed very recently in our most iconic moments in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just because it's iconic doesn't mean that makes it a great episode. But I keep going back to, say, like Space Seed, for example. That ended up like we got a spinoff out of it with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, unfortunately, Star Trek Into Darkness as well. But to me, Into Darkness does not diminish the greatness that is Wrath of Khan, though.
No. And so much of the great iconic, you know...
Did you just say iconic?
Oh, that's painful. But a lot of the great iconography of Star Trek shows up...
Did you just say iconography?
I did.
I'm
done. Shows up in season one. You know, we get, like, the Vulcan mind meld. We get, you know, the nerve pinch. Like, a lot of the... Look at TNG and how long it kind of takes to find its footing and figure out what the show is. TOS nails the landing right out of the gate. And yeah, you know, the Vulcan salute doesn't show up to the premiere of season two. But a lot of the facets of Star Trek are in season one.
Warp speed.
Yeah, they figured them out well in advance. The characters are mostly in place for where they're going. It's a great, great season of television. And not just in Star Trek. Across the board of television, in terms of first seasons, I think original series Star Trek is really up there.
No argument for me. That's why we agree on this one. But Cam, if we talk about the worst season one, this was actually kind of an easy pick for me. I don't know about you.
Me too.
Why don't you go first? And maybe we agree once again.
I thought the worst first season of Star Trek is The Next Generation.
Yes, I put that down as well.
Because when I'm going through, you know, you're torn because in your mind you're like TNG is one of the best seasons.
Yeah,
I think for me I rank it. Yeah, I rank it. I think third of my favorites, but nonetheless, I mean
that's middling.
Right in the middle. Yeah. But there's a gap between, you know, third and fourth and fifth, a significant gap. But you know, you're like, well, I'm sure there's great stuff in there. And, you know, I dig through the list and it's like, yeah, you got Data Lore is good. I like Conspiracy. I like Coming of Age. I know Coming of Age is not maybe a great episode, but I think there's good stuff in it. Other than that...
To me, the only one that I actually legit like was Data Lore.
Sure.
Otherwise, you've got stuff like We'll Always Have Paris, which is just such a brutal, brutal slog to get through. It was one that I easily could have included in our Best Worst Flings episode that we did for Valentine's Day together.
Yeah.
But look, you also have Code of Honor.
Yeah.
Oh, dear gosh. Like, it just other... And then stuff that's like, hey, we're the next generation. We're not going to repeat everything you saw in the original series.
Naked Now. And also Code of Honor, too, which, you know, does kind of a mock time.
But this was, to me, like, Naked Now is just such an obvious just like ripoff. Mm-hmm. Like why what was the point of the Naked Now? Why are they doing that as like episode 2 or 3?
Maybe Gene Roddenberry forgot that he made the Naked Time.
I could actually buy that
at that point in time. But yeah, I mean, look, season one has a lot of comedic gold episodes that we've kind of liked to make fun of, like Justice, Where No Man Has Gone Before. And yeah, Naked Now, but God, you and also
Angel One,
11001101.
You're off by one digit.
Yeah,
sorry, man.
But then you know, it's just got so much crap that is on par with like The Last Outpost, where it's these episodes where you're just like, why am I watching this? This episode is going nowhere, and they're not even fun. Like even like some of the you know bad episodes in the original series or Voyager or whatever, like I can watch them and be at least modestly entertained. So much of season one TNG is just a slog.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Maybe this I should have asked you this in the previous segment that we did, but what do you think is the second best first season, and what do you think is the second worst first season?
The second best prior to rewatching Deep Space Nine, I would have said Deep Space Nine, but I would no longer say that.
Okay.
I think the season one that I at least, I don't know that I feel comfortable saying the best, but the one I enjoyed the most.
No, second best. Second best.
Okay, the one I enjoyed the most was Enterprise season one. Because, yeah, it's not a string of great episodes. You know, Enterprise took its time to find its footing, but I really loved the introduction to that world. I was really... like I got really into that series rewatching or when I started watching Enterprise. Like I blew through season one in no time. To me it was season two that was a little bumpier and kind of didn't know where it was going, but I really liked what the table was being set for in season one of Enterprise.
Okay, it's interesting. For me, I mean, I'd already watched, like, to me, it was very much in the vein of Voyager.
Right.
And to me, it just felt like Voyager redo, and I was like...
And I hadn't watched Voyager at this point, too. I watched them out of order.
I do wonder how my reaction would have been if I had never seen Voyager at the time. For me, it just felt like Voyager once again. But so for me, this is funny that here's my answer for second best. Star Trek Voyager season one.
I think my second best, maybe.
Yeah, I would
have... Sorry, not second best. That would be next in line, I should say.
Well, second best season one.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that would be right after Enterprise.
Okay, I got you. But yeah.
When I was doing the mental gymnastics, it was Voyager or Enterprise, and I ultimately went with Enterprise.
Okay. I think they have a grasp on the characters. They're getting there, and they're telling a lot of, like, kind of stories that I think would have worked on Next Generation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found the series far more consistent throughout season one. Then other seasons, it gets a little bit schizophrenic with a lot of the way the characters portrayed. There's some real duds. Season one, I think, is more consistent. Although learning curve is probably
pretty
one
bad.
Of the worst season finales.
I think Voyager is actually, we kind of aren't as up on Voyager as maybe some of the other series, but Voyager does not have the really ugly growing pains some of the other series have, because, like,
right.
Rewatching DS9 season one, I was shocked at how bad a lot of it was.
Yeah.
Because I didn't recall feeling that way the first time through.
All right. Well, okay. So, Cam, what would be your pick for second worst season one?
I think I'd have to go Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
There are so many episodes that are just, like, you know, random Bajoran of the week episodes that are so unmemorable. I mean, I can't even say, like... You know, when we talked about when listing off bad episodes from season one of TNG, there's all these ones that fans know and make fun of, right? Justice, et cetera, Code of Honor. Name me some season one episodes of Deep Space Nine. It's just so much forgettable filler.
Well, you know, I'm an apologist for Move Along Home,
which would be one of the worst, but yeah. Yes.
But hey, I think Duet, pretty acceptable.
Duet
episode.
Is a real standout, yeah.
My vote goes to, I'd have to give... For second worst, honestly, Star Trek Enterprise. Because at that point, I was just so sick of it. And you're starting the series off, I thought Broken Bow was a good, strong series premiere.
Right.
You follow that up with episodes like Strange New World, where people are seeing rock monsters, are getting leaves stuck on them in the transporter. Like, I don't care. You also have like stuff like Fight or Flight. Just
right.
Like, this is not how you really build a universe here.
You have Unexpected is episode 5, yeah.
Yeah, so to me, I have to give that to Enterprise.
I think the reason that I'm a lot fonder of season one of Enterprise is that I had started TNG at that point, and I had stalled out near the end of season 2 TNG, because I was like, I can't watch this anymore. So I just decided to pop in the first season of Enterprise, kind of just as a palate cleanser, because I was getting overwhelmed with bad TNG. And I really loved the energy of the series. I loved sort of the retro look at Starfleet we were seeing. I liked a lot of the characters. So I was much more swept up in that first season than most of the other series.
Let's go on, Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2. What is your pick for best season 2?
This wasn't even a contest. The original series.
Yeah.
Season 2. I mean, A Mock Time, Trouble with Tribbles, Mirror, Mirror, Metamorphosis, Piece of the Action. These are, again, all-time great Star Trek episodes. The show is so confident at this point. They've really nailed down the Kirk-Spock-McCoy dynamic. They're just having fun with it. Yeah, you get episodes like Assignment Earth or Cat's Paw or the Omega Glory. God, the Omega Glory. But... Again, like season one, it's 95% great.
Well, and here's the thing. I do recall Trouble with Tribbles, Mirror, Mirror. Those are two episodes that I debated. We just talked about Desert Island Star Trek episodes, ones that you would bring with you on a desert island.
Yeah.
And I believe I ended up going with Trouble with Tribbles.
And I went with A Mock Time.
And I think Mirror, Mirror was a very close second.
Yeah.
So I really dig season. Do you think season two is the best TOS season, period?
I think so, yes. It's most consistently great. And I mean, my runner-up for that desert island was Doomsday Machine, also from season two.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you really can't go wrong with season two of TOS.
So what do you think is the second best season two then? Because I think this is actually kind of a tough one to throw out there.
I would probably say Voyager.
Yeah?
I think so. I think Voyager...
You're a big Basics fan?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I liked Basics, actually. I did.
I liked Lon Suter. I think he was a good character that's introduced in season two.
Yeah, yeah, and you got a lot of good Vidian stories. So yeah, I would say season two of Voyager.
Okay, interesting that you say that. I think, honestly, I would probably give it to Deep Space Nine, okay. Second best. You know, you're starting to get a lot more of the Dominion War mythology building. Mm-hmm. It ends with a destruction of the Odyssey, of course, a Galaxy-class starship with the episode The Jem'Hadar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some misfires.
I think there's definite argument to be made for DS9. I think it has some really good highs. But I think Voyager Season 2 might be more consistent.
Yeah, okay. I probably won't argue with you too much. I thought the 37s was a real great way to kick off the premiere.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the finale, which I think makes like far more... the Season 1 finale, and that makes far more sense. But...
Much less jogging and sweatpants.
Well, don't take away my sweatpant jogging. All right, well, Cam... Worst season two. Are we going for the same pick once again?
I think so. TNG.
Oh, good golly. Okay, you have episodes like The Royale, The Child, Shades of Grey, Cam.
The Dauphin, Where Silence Has Lease,
dear
Up
Lord.
The Long Ladder.
Oh, dear.
Do you not like girls? Yeah. I think any season I think any season with Shades of Grey is automatically the worst.
Yeah.
When I was going through best episodes of that season, it's like, well, you got Measure of a Man, which is an all-timer.
Yes.
All-timer.
I totally agree.
And then, you know, Q-Who is obviously very important. Other than that, people really like the Sherlock Data episode,
but
I don't like it. But it is iconic and people do love it. So, I mean, I guess
sure.
You can at least highlight that one.
No.
but not in a strong, bold color, in a very subdued color.
you could argue, hey, it wasn't bad for season two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good season. And, you know, without Crusher there, it feels weird. When you rewatch it, you're like, who is this Pulaski? Where does this go? Why is she so awful to Data? Now, I don't even hate Pulaski. I think she's a fine character, but... It makes the season stand out and feel weird.
Do you think the season salvaged a little bit by the introduction of Riker's beard?
No.
What about okay?
No, not really.
What about the introduction of Guinan?
Guinan helps. Yeah, I think Guinan has more personality than Riker's beard.
I don't know. It's me. Like when you see Riker's beard, it really changes how I perceive that character. He seems far much more. He seems to be much more of an authority figure.
Yeah.
He grows up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I dig the beard.
I mean, like, TNG takes basically three seasons to get to where it should have been in the start.
Oh, I know.
season two.
There's another series. Actually, I think a lot could be said for all those series. They all kind of fall into that trap. I think a lot of these series really take two seasons to get going. But is it weird that Next Generation is so bad those first two seasons compared with all the other series? What was going on there, Cam?
Well, Gene Roddenberry was in control at that point, and just not maybe in the best of states to be running a TV show.
Yes, I agree.
And so I just don't think there was any clear creative vision. And so you got two seasons of a series that feel just compromised and weird and just not, they don't know where they're going.
Yeah, about what, maybe 6-7 months ago, you and I went and we did a review of Red Alert: Chaos on the Bridge. That's the William Shatner documentary that examines the early seasons of Next Generation.
Right.
And they spell it out. Like, there's just... Gene Roddenberry, maybe not the greatest guy to be in charge of Star Trek at that time.
No.
He again, we've always said that he's more of a vision guy versus an execution guy. So when you put him in charge of the execution, it ain't looking great.
The Omega glory.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And, it's just a bad season. Like, this really wasn't that hard for me to figure out.
Okay. What would be maybe a runner-up for a worst season two?
I put Enterprise season two.
Yeah.
It has some really fun episodes I like Dawn, Cogenitor. I don't know if the Cogenitor is a fun episode, but it's a really good episode.
I don't think it's a fun one.
It's a real romp. Yeah. You know, Carbon Creek is one of my all-time favorite Voyage or Enterprise episodes. Dead Stop. And Vanishing Point's really good too, actually. The Hoshi
episode.
Sounds
like you like a lot of season
two. I like a lot of it, but I also remember watching it. It felt very rudderless. Like, it would feel like they would have good episodes, but it didn't feel like it had the direction of season one, and it didn't feel like it was a confident season. And, you know, going forward, I think Enterprise feels very confident in season three and four, and two, just kind of felt like, where is this show going? Because it gets kind of bogged down with the Daniels time travel nonsense and the Sulaban stuff that's going nowhere. So I just felt like that one kind of stuck out to me.
I agree with you here. Season two of Enterprise was actually the season that made me quit Star Trek for about 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, where I just gave up on the franchise at that point and did not really return to it, I guess, until the J.J. Abrams film. But honestly, I went back and rewatched the rest of season two, because I think it was, I believe it was Rogue Planet. That was a season two episode. And that was the episode that I'm just like, I give up.
Yeah.
I'm not tuning in next week. There's just, like you said, it very little direction. It felt just listless. And why am I investing my time in something that I feel like I've watched again and again, and I'm not invested in what's going on? I'm so thankful I've gone back and finished off the rest of Enterprise, because when we go a little deeper, I'll definitely have a lot more to say about the improvements that we see with Enterprise.
And it felt, a lot of it felt episodic in a bad way.
Yes.
Where you're just kind of like watching a story going like, okay, and then the next week, kind of more of the same, but it doesn't feel like you're on a journey. It doesn't feel like it's building to anything really that interesting.
These are the first explorers from Earth going exceptionally far distances.
Yeah.
And I don't get that sense of wonder that I should have from Star Trek.
A lot of season two feels like treading water. It's like, they came out with season one. I think season one of Enterprise is fairly confident. Like, I get the sense they knew where they want to go.
Right.
Season two feels like they're like, we're not really sure what to do now. And then three and four, they're like, we got it. You know, it just, two really sticks out to me in that regard.
Okay. Well, sorry, Cam. I guess we have to skip season two for now and head on over to season three.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well,
what's your best season three?
This was tough because I think we all know TNG season three is considered the, you know, the watershed season of maybe all of Star Trek third seasons.
Yeah.
DS9 season three, I really like too. A lot of it is very, very fantastic.
Really finding themselves.
Yeah.
Season three of DS9.
But ultimately, I have to go. I really had to sit down and say and ask myself, if I were to sit down and just watch a season, which one would I want to watch of these seasons? And I have to go with the Zindi arc from Enterprise.
Okay, that was actually my runner-up. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm totally down with it. It was actually the episode The Shipment that convinced me that I actually like where the series is going. It felt to me like the first time that Enterprise actually got Star Trek right. And I was sucked into that Zindi arc, even though I think there are some issues with it. John Billingsley has brought it up at conventions about how jingoistic it felt. And to me, I can't disagree with that. But there's some very fine moments of Star Trek throughout season three of Enterprise.
Yeah, and I found the overall arc fascinating. Like, compared to the like the Kazon stuff in Voyager around the same time, you know, time period of season before, kind of similar to the Zindi arc in some of the storytelling. But compare the differences in quality. Like, the Zindi stuff is fascinating. We get great stories out of it. The Kazon stuff is brutal to sit through and boring.
Although, I do recall season three, Voyager, Kazon were only in Basics. And they abandoned them.
More season one and two.
Seasons one, two,
But it's similar kind of, you know, the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, the Zindi stuff just feels, like, fresh and exciting. And it really benefited for me, at least, watching it after Deep Space Nine. I'm just like, this is what I love. You know, saw the Dominion War arc, and now I'm seeing the Zindi stuff and just loving it. And even outside of the Zindi stuff, you have like great episodes that I absolutely love, like Twilight, E2. You know, those are two of my favorite Enterprise episodes of all time. And then
you got Similitude as well, like
another great one. Yeah. And then you have Zero Hour with Archer outrunning fire.
Yeah, I've said it before. He really needed to wear like a big long wig and just have like the wind blowing in his hair as
and
he
a wife
made a
beater.
Run for it. Oh yeah, you know, it totally do like the MacGruber sort of you know, pass by the audience. Do you think it was hurt at all by the space Nazis showing up at the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, okay. Look, Cam, you touched upon it, but if I had to be on a desert island and I could only bring one season three with me, I think I definitely absolutely love the Enterprise Zindi arc, but I have to bring with me Next Generation. You've got episodes like Best of Both Worlds Part 1.
Yeah.
To me, that's probably my favorite Will Riker episode, period.
Right.
You also have some great stuff like The Defector, The Offspring.
The Enemy.
Yesterday's Enterprise. I can't tell you who watches The Watchers. Is I think it was on one of my Hidden Gems episode mm-hmm. where to me that is Star Trek at its core. That's what Star Trek should be all the time.
This would be my runner up for season 3.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Very much. Like, it's a fantastic season.
So we agree on that, sir.
Yes.
Worst seasons 3.
Oh, this was tough because I found that all of the season 3s were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I even have a lot of fondness for a lot of the episodes of the original series season 3.
See, you know, I actually, the further we got into seasons, I felt bad about saying that they're the worst season because there's still so many like strong episodes throughout all of these seasons, and which was not necessarily the case through all of these early seasons.
Going forward, as we go down the list, the next handful of seasons, I felt like crap picking a worst.
I know.
Because it feels like it doesn't even deserve the title worst. It just deserves least favorite.
Yeah.
And so my least favorite was Voyager season 3.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a season where the show, to me, kind of like season 2 Enterprise, feels a little bit like just doesn't quite know where it wants to go next. Even though you're getting some fantastic episodes like Macrocosm, Real Life, Distant Origin, Scorpion Part 1, and Flashback. I know you don't like Flashback that much. And a fun
one.
It was
actually on my list of episodes that I thought sucked in season 3, because Voyager season 3 is actually on my list of worst.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a wussy and just say least favorite. I'll say worst. I'll suck it up and say worst, okay. Even though I think it's accurate to say maybe this is more least favorite as opposed to...
Sure. Yeah. And it does have some stinkers. The shoot is awful.
Yes.
I don't care what Garrett Wong says about how much he loves that episode. I think it's awful.
Rise, in which...
I didn't even remember that one. I looked at the title and I was like, I can't remember that one.
Tuvok and Neelix are on a big elevator.
Is that season 3?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, yeah. God. Sacred Ground.
Oh, God. Unity, in which we're introduced to the Borg in Chakotay. We're just kicking around dead Borg drones. And it's like, wow, way to really introduce the Borg to your universe here, guys.
Favorite Son, which is the Harry Kim and the vampire women.
But isn't that a fun episode to watch?
It is a fun episode, but it's awful. Like, kind of like Justice, you know, where it's awful, but I'm amused by it.
Okay.
And then also, like, I don't like Warlord. I know you were a bigger fan of that one.
I think it showed me that, I thought it was a great performance for Jennifer Leigh, and it actually showed me that they could give her stuff to do. I believe season 3 also had Before and After, which is a very good Kes episode where she's going through time, and we actually kind of hinted at the Year of Hell. And by hints, they explicitly referenced the Year of Hell.
Yes.
I do feel bad saying that this is the worst season out of all the season 3s.
But I don't feel good about saying it's the worst.
No.
I really don't, because I think it's actually a pretty solid Star Trek season. It's just the weakest of the batch. And like, my runner-up would be original series, because while I do love a lot of the original series episodes from season 3, it's... I guess I have to really dock it points for how far it fell from season 1 and 2, right? Like, it really does feel much less consistent. There's episodes that are misunderstanding the characters, so, yeah.
Okay. What about a best season 4? What is the best season 4 in existence, Cam?
I've got
a pick, and I had to think about it a little while, and then I'm just like, Tyler, just go through what your heart tells you.
Tell me, how do you fault a season that opens with this string of episodes? Way of the Warrior, The Visitor, Hippocratic Oath, Indiscretion, Rejoined. I got to go with Deep Space Nine season 4.
Oh, yeah. I can't fault you for that. Those are all just top episodes. Okay. You got me there.
Yeah. I mean, to me, man, we're just getting more and more into the Dominion War arc. I'm just getting more and more swept up in this series at this point.
Well, you say you're getting more and more into the Dominion War arc, but we have the introduction of the Klingons, which was actually meant to kind of push away the Dominion War arc. That's what the studios wanted, but we are getting some good stuff still.
Yeah.
Totally.
And yeah, the addition of Worf just adds a whole like bunch of new energy to the show.
I love the addition of Worf. What do you think about the return of the Klingons as adversaries? So does this work for you?
I mean, it's fine. To me, ultimately...
It seemed a little shoehorned in to me.
Yeah, the problem with Deep Space Nine is that once you get to kind of season maybe 4 onwards, it becomes to me one larger story.
Right,
you know, it's hard to really break it down. But to me, like, yeah, the Klingon antagonist stuff, it's fine. But, you know, it does lead to some pretty great stuff.
Okay. I think it was one of the weaker season finales, though. This is what's the one where they turn Odo into a solid? I'm gonna kill myself. This is humiliating, but you know, actually, DS9 actually had like a weaker season 3 finale as well. The adversary,
right?
We get to see Ben promoted to captain,
yeah,
and we just spend the episode chasing a changeling throughout, and that's on the Defiant,
right?
And that's the season under. Anyway, season 4 finale. I feel like there's Cam. I'm gonna torture myself. Broken Link.
That's bingo.
Okay. So, no need to
write
in. I
knew that the whole time. I was going to see how long it took you to get it.
Oh, you're awful to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I cannot fault you for picking DS9 Season 4. I'm going to go with something else, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have to debate about this a little bit. But one of the inspirations for this particular podcast episode was the following season that I want to talk about right now. Just what I consider one of my all-time favorite seasons of Star Trek. And actually surprises me. Season 4... of Enterprise, in fact.
Yeah.
This is, look, you got to wrap up the Space Nazi story arc. I understand it. Not the strongest start to the season, but you're going up with that Vulcan arc, Forge, Awakening, Kishara. I love the Vulcan politics stuff. Maybe not your cup of tea so much, but to me, I love the explanation of why the Vulcans are the way they are and how they're so different than the ones that we know from TOS and Next Gen era as well.
Right.
Moving on, look, we've got the Romulan arc with Babel 1, Anar, United. I thought that was a great string of episodes.
Yep.
I love the exploration of the Andorians as well, like just making them all the more human. I don't know if that's the proper word for an alien species.
Sure. I mean, that's a very human thing to say, but yeah.
Yeah, but my favorite episode of Enterprise, maybe it's a little unfair, but my favorite episode of Enterprise was actually season 4 episode.
It was that episode about the transporter guy, right?
Oh, Daedalus?
Yeah.
No, it was actually the series finale.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah, these are the voyages. No, actually, I'm talking about In a Mirror Darkly parts 1 and 2.
Great two-parter.
Look, it takes place in alternate universe. I get it. It's not connected to the narrative or really the characters that we've been following, but man, that is a fun episode. That is just fan service to the nth degree. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, season 4 Enterprise, I really considered, but I really hate Stormfront. I don't like the finale. And then you have like that transporter one guy.
Daedalus.
Daedalus.
Yeah.
It's to me like kind of the lows are real low. Like really low.
Okay. These are the voyages. This is what made me contemplate whether I should include this.
Yeah.
I'd like to just like omit These Are the Voyages from my memory altogether.
I really hate Stormfront.
Yeah,
I think Stormfront's awful.
I'm not going to defend it either. But no. I'd like to think Demons and Terra Prime as the proper finale of Voyager.
Sure.
Or, Enterprise. That is how it is in my mind. And
they are very good. Yeah, they're great.
Strong. I think if that was a conclusion of the series, I think it's a strong conclusion. It's a bit, you know, that trip to Paul, you know, love story is usually stuff that I would just find grating, but I think it works for me. And what a gut punch when they, you know, realize that their baby's not going to survive.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll give it a season 4. What's your least favorite season 4, Cam?
My least favorite season 4, again, I feel like a total jerk with this one because it's not the worst. It's just my least favorite, and that would be Voyager season 4. And yet season 4 of Voyager is so much like fun because you have 7 of 9 coming in.
Yeah.
You get great episodes like Living Witness and Prey, Scientific Method. I really like Year of Hell.
Living Witness is one of my favorite Voyager episodes for like a long, long time.
Yeah.
I really dug that one.
And this really killed me because, yeah, it doesn't deserve the title worst. It's just to me the least successful. It's more up and down. That's really the problem with it, you know. And I can't put TNG into this category because my god, you've got Family and First Contact, The Drumhead. You've got all-timer TNG episodes.
What about the original series, Cam? Why aren't you
season 4?
Yeah.
Is that the animated?
No. Okay, let's say phase 2 came around.
Oh,
would we consider that just like an errant season 4? Would that would we have included in our list, but as just a separate series? It's essentially a reboot.
It would be a new series, I think.
Like Fuller House?
Yes, like Fuller House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or 24 Legacy?
Yes, exactly like that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, once Spock's gone, then it's a new series in my mind.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah,
Sorry, I should jump in here. My pick was also Voyager as least favorite for season four. Even though, look, I do love the introduction of Seven of Nine. It really created a new dynamic for the series that I injected new energy into it that I think it needed. But can we get an episode like The Gift, which I think was just did such a disservice to Kes's character. We also have stuff like Repression, which is like, essentially, I find this one kind of offensive, where Seven believes she's been kind of assaulted or violated by this scientist.
That's a weird episode.
And they discover, and they all believe her.
Yes.
And then they discover it's false memories.
Yes.
And if you want to think of this as like kind of a sexual assault analogy, it's like,
which it is,
don't always believe victims. I'm just like,
yeah. I remember being really engrossed in that episode for quite a while, and then you kind of get to that, yes, what you're saying, where there's like the reveal, and you're like, what?
Yeah,
like, what was I watching?
I don't know what the point of this episode was.
Yeah, you also have Concerning Flight with Janeway going on bicycle rides with Leonardo da Vinci and like knocking a villain in the head like four times.
What's worse, a bicycle ride with Leonardo da Vinci or Neelix on a bicycle with French bread in his basket, such as we saw in The Killing Game?
Speak of the devil, I don't like The Killing Game either. I know a lot of fans love it. It's iconic with a lot of them, but I could not stand sitting through The Killing Game.
I can't wait until we go back and rewatch that two-parter together and we get to review that episode in about, what, probably 2 years from now?
Sure. I'll see you in 2 years back here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, look, Voyager, it's got a lot of good episodes in its season four, but, it's got some duds.
Okay, sir. What about season five? My season five pick for favorite, it actually also helped inspire this particular podcast episode. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from you first. So what's your pick for best season five?
We're right back at Deep Space Nine.
Okay. Yeah. I debated that. Yeah. But we are going to diverge in our picks here a little bit. Cam, I don't think it's going to be tough, but please justify your picks.
I mean, this is a season where you're seeing like the For the Uniform. We're seeing Children of Time, which is just, I love that episode.
I think that's one of the kind of like underrepresented, you know, kind of forgotten about episodes that is so exceptional.
Which really like leads way to the whole Kira Odo romance. M'Pok Noor with Garak gone amok on a station killing people.
Crazy Garak, like, how could you mess that up?
Yeah, Apocalypse Rising, you know, with the whole crew, like a bunch of the crew posing as Klingons.
Avery Brooks chewing the scenery throughout.
Yes, Darkness and Light with Kira basically chasing a serial killer.
Was that Brian Fuller's first episode, or is M'Pok Noor Brian Fuller's first episode?
I think that was his first.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that M'Pok Noor was later.
Way to hit it out of the ballpark there, Mr. Fuller.
And it all ends with Call to Arms.
Yeah, and this is why I really debated, and like I felt really torn about. I ultimately did not pick DS9 season 5 because I think Call to Arms, it could rival Best of Both Worlds Part 1 as the best season finale ever.
Yes,
that scene where Dukat shows up in his old office and Ben Sisko leaves his baseball behind.
Oh. And then it just shows Sisko on the Defiant joining the fleet. And it's like, oh, this is so glorious.
I've asked you this question before, and I keep forgetting what you said, but like at the time, all the fans online, they thought that he was rejoining the fleet, and the fleet was heading right back to Deep Space Nine to attack it. Is that how you interpreted
it? That is how I interpreted it, yeah, the first time through. Yeah. And it also is another badass moment that's not, it doesn't stand out as much as the ones we've just mentioned, which is like Kira like breaking like central control, like just like setting off all the explosions and like walking away from the explosions. It's like, hell yes.
Oh yeah. And then
so great.
She, Quark, and Odo are down there to greet them at the airlock, and they're like, welcome to Deep Space Nine.
Oh, it's just brilliant through and through. I don't know, like season five DS9 is like, at this point I am so on board with this series. I am just like blowing through episodes one after another.
Yeah. Okay, sir. I'll jump to one of my inspirations for this particular podcast episode. But it has
seems
to,
there's many inspirations for this particular episode.
The last one I mentioned, Enterprise Season 4, and the next one I'm going to mention. Those are my two inspirations here. Next Generation Season 5.
This was very close to taking this spot for me.
You get started with Darmok, Ensign Ro, which was like a great, like to me, it seems like, I don't know. I could have easily just dismissed that episode, but it's just kind of the introduction of some random character that is throughout the season. But that's actually a really strong episode as well.
Yeah.
You know, I just love stuff like that. We get like The Outcast. I think that to me is such another adult sort of romance story.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to tackle like homophobia and kind of like reprogramming people that are a little different.
Right.
You know, I Borg, Cam, we get The Inner Light, man.
Yeah, I know.
The room got a little dusty when I was watching it just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Like, I really was tortured over this one because, you know, the fact that TNG is very poorly represented on my list makes it seem like I'm, you know, don't appreciate how strong TNG was at this point. It's just like, I'm always probably going to side with the, you know, the really good DS9 seasons over sure. the TNG ones because I just like DS9 that much more. But man, TNG was just hitting home run after home run in its seasons at this point.
I will make an argument. This is Next Generation's strongest, most consistent season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause and effect, man.
Yeah.
I just watched the commentary episode for that with Brandon Braga and Seth MacFarlane.
Okay.
That was Brandon Braga doesn't really spill the beans much on these commentaries, but mm-hmm. it was really mostly fun just to see a fan like Seth MacFarlane geek out so much out of a fan favorite episode. And
right.
I don't know. To me, it just reemphasized like how they were just firing on all cylinders like throughout this season. Ron Moore did another commentary and episode on The First Duty,
mm-hmm.
another very strong entry in yeah. there. And it just like magic was happening in that writer's room during that particular period. You don't hit, you know, lightning in a bottle twice.
Right.
Is that a saying people say?
Sure.
Okay.
They do now.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I think DS9 came very, very close.
Yeah, I know. I they're both fantastic, fantastic seasons.
Okay, sir. But what would be the worst season 5, though?
I think we could pretty much figure that one out.
Okay.
That would be Voyager season 5, which, again, you've got really good episodes.
It kills me, though. Yeah, okay, that was my pick as well. And it kills me that I have to put that on there.
Someone to Watch Over Me.
I know.
Maybe my all-time... No, it's probably my second favorite episode. But, you know, 30 Days I really like.
Right.
Latent Image.
What about Timeless with Chakotay? I think I told you before, like, Cam, would you believe the 100th episode of Star Trek Voyager... It's all about Chakotay and Harry Kim, and it's a really strong episode.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the really fantastic, iconic Voyager episodes. So I felt like real crap putting this one on the list, but...
Well, Cam, this one includes also one of your other favorites, The Fight.
In the Flesh, which is the finale to the Species 8472 arc.
Wow. The Disease.
The Disease, yeah. And also Once Upon a Time with Flotter.
You're not a Flotter fan?
I mean...
You're more of a Treevis guy?
I'll say this for Once Upon a Time, is it was nowhere near as awful as I expected to be, but it was still bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It was about as awful as I expected it to be when I watched it.
But I would say The Fight and In the Flesh might be my two least favorite... They're up there for my least favorite Voyager episodes.
What do you think about Jason Alexander's appearance on Think Tank? I was really looking forward to it. This came just shortly after Seinfeld had ended its run.
Yeah.
I did not...
Wait, did this beat Bob Patterson to the air?
I think it did.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Michael Richards show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think this episode was longer than the Michael Richards show's run.
Very true. I did not like Think Tank. And I don't think it was just because I was just disappointed. I just found it so stupid and creepy.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's not an episode that I strongly disliked. I just thought it was kind of middle of the road Voyager. Well,
that's an indictment in and of itself.
Yeah. It doesn't feel special.
Okay.
And, you know, there are good episodes in this season, but, you know, it's just the duds are real loud.
Okay, Cam, we're going to the home stretch. Season 6. What's the best season 6 for you?
Can you predict my season 6?
Can you predict my season 6? Should we say it at the same time?
Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3, Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you start off with the Dominion War arc, and I'm just like, holy crap. I've never seen anything like this in Star Trek before. Like, having, like, this serialized arc, I remember at the time, like, Ron Moore was doing his AOL chat sessions, and he's just like, I don't know. We've never done this before. It's very scary. Like, having to, like, go back and forth with all the writers, confer, make sure that this is not going to mess up what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, what I love so much about this arc is, like, as serialized as it is, and it's nothing I'd ever seen in Star Trek before, the episodes are all kind of... they stand out to me. Like, I can pick them apart. Like, I'm like, oh, I know what Sons and Daughters is about. I know what Rocks and Shoals is about.
Walt.
That's not part of the...
No, that's not part of the arc. I mean, just in regards to the season. Yeah.
But that initial six episode, right. You know, Dominion War arc, I was just, like, totally... It was mind-blowing mm-hmm. for me. Cam, you bring up Waltz, though. I mean, holy crap. Like, you're continuing this thread as well. You're cordially invited. After the heaviness of that war arc, we get cordially invited. What a fun episode,
One of the greatest romances in Star Trek history, right there.
Well, that...
The Jadzia, Dax, and Worf.
I'd say it's a close second to Kirk and Antonia.
Obviously.
Generations.
But also that season, In the Pale Moonlight. And then also Far Beyond the Stars.
Cam.
Like, this is Deep Space Nine at its best.
That's just it. I say season 5 of Next Gen was Next Gen at its best. I say season 6 of DS9 was DS9 at its best.
Now, it may have the worst episode of all time with Prophet and Lace.
Yeah.
And Resurrection is no home run either with the return of Vedic Brile. But...
What do you... When we're talking about bases, Cam, what do you consider a home run to be?
I still don't know.
Okay. Listeners, go listen to last week's episode to get that reference. It'll totally be worth your time.
But I mean, even with those two duds, like season 6 DS9 is so sublime.
Yes.
It's just joy from beginning to end. And it's really saying something because season 6 TNG is pretty damn good.
Well, would that be your runner-up then?
That is my runner-up.
Yeah, that's my runner-up as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting into it. Just watched the episode Lessons. I'm doing it a little bit out of order, but mm-hmm. Lessons, just such a great way. And even kicking off the season, I think Time's Arrow, it's not going to be considered one of the best, like, Next Gen episodes, but like...
No, it's not!
Thank you, Samuel Clemens, but it's a fun episode. Like, it's the guys are like, look, we can't compete with the Borg. Like, right. Why even try? Actually, further on in season 6, they did with Descent Parts 1 and 2.
But, I'd like Descent Part, you know, Part
1. Yeah. But it's no Best of Both Worlds.
No.
It's, for some reason, they abandoned the entire ship to look for data on a planet.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so Cam, I guess we can say
the worst
at the
is
same
Voyager.
Time.
Yeah,
Voyager.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, again, there's some great episodes in season 6.
Blink of an Eye is an all-timer.
Yeah.
That is one. That and I think Someone to Watch Over Me are my favorite Voyager episodes.
That was like the introduction of, I believe, Someone to Watch Over Me is season 5.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying that, like, Someone to Watch Over Me and Blink of an Eye are my two favorite Voyager episodes. Blink of an Eye is in season 6.
I think that was my introduction to Daniel Day Kim, who actor, big fan of as well. And I think it was cool just to see him as like kind of like this kind of ancient astronaut sort of character there.
Tanner, Dr. Spy is that season. That's a great episode.
To me, that's my favorite comedy episode of Star Trek, period. Right. There's nothing better than Robert Duncan McNeil's acting when the Doctor had to break it off with B'Elanna.
Yeah.
And they get a shot of Paris giving the weakest wave in the world. Like, I love that moment more than anything.
Yes, it's gold. Absolute gold.
But then, Cam, you've got episodes like Fury.
Fury,
I hate that one.
I really hate Fury a lot. Fury is one of the most offensive episodes to a character
of
all time.
It's a total betrayal of that character.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I agree 100%, and believe me, it's underlined on my list. as are Spirit Folk in Fairhaven are weak. Pathfinder is okay, but it has a lot of weird stuff in it. Like the whole Troy... And Barclay stuff is uncomfortable to watch. This is also season 6 is the introduction of the Borg children.
Yeah, that's why it was so horrible. I was trying to figure out if this should be my top season 6, you know?
This is really the point.
Chip.
We're seeing the real like decline of the Borg at this point.
Oh, yes. And we go into a lot of depth about that in our episode from earlier on this year, or maybe late last year.
I think it was late last year.
Evolution of the Borg. Look it up, I think, around December.
Yeah.
You know. Another one, you mentioned betrayal of character, Kes. Go watch Virtuoso, in which the Doctor abandons Voyager so he can go perform as a singer on an alien planet.
Yeah.
Leaving them with no medical doctor on board the starship. I'm like, to me, that is a betrayal of not only the crew that he's been around for the last 6 years, but the character in and of itself. He's a doctor. Like, he would not... he's a sentient being, but he would not choose to abandon these people and give them nothing. You know, I hate that. That's probably my least favorite episode of season six myself.
Right. So. Right.
Okay, sir, we're in the home stretch here.
Season seven.
Only three series have made it to season seven.
That's right.
Fingers crossed Discovery will do it.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Whenever it airs.
If it airs.
Yeah. So the best, I have Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
That closure of the Dominion War arc is just everything I hoped it would be. I think the weakness of season seven is really once we get into the Gul Dukat feels kind of directionless in season seven. You're getting stuff with magic books and, you know, cosmetic surgery and stuff. I just don't like where that character goes. But I mean, other than that, oh, it's so good. And even when we're not focusing on the Dominion War stuff, which people will highlight as being what made DS9 great, especially in its end stretch, you're still getting episodes like Take Me Out to the Holosuite or Bada Bing, Bada Bang, like fun episodes that stand alone that are, you know, hugely popular within the within the series.
Even like dark ones, like the Siege of AR-558.
Yeah, only a paper moon, too.
Yeah, even like our... When we had to bid adieu to the Mirror Universe, Emperor's New Cloak, that's a fun one.
I can't get on board there.
No?
No, I can't.
What about Rom and Quark pretending that they're carrying a cloaked cloaking device, and so they're just miming carrying it, Cam? Is that not comedy gold?
Oh, it was hijinks galore.
My one, say, critique of that final arc that we witnessed there is like one thing I praised about season six is how easy it was to tell all the episodes apart in that opening Dominion War arc, but in the final arc, the story kind of blurs together. It's more difficult for me to recall exactly what happened in any given episode just because they're all kind of connected threads, right?
For sure. So, yeah. But I mean, the storytelling in season seven of Deep Space Nine is just... Oh, I mean, it's not even a show petering to the end. It's like they're trying to get everything to, you know, as much material as they can to contain within those 26 episodes. And it just ends in spectacular fashion.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, the emotional high points in the finale was the Kira and Odo departure scene. I mean, that just did it for me right there.
I mean, of the three series that made it to seven seasons, DS9 is the only one that feels in its final season like we still got a lot to offer.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the other two, it feels more of the obligatory, like we're contractually obligated to have seven seasons, so here's your seventh season.
Well, let's dive into it then. My pick for least favorite was season seven of Voyager, and it's not like Next Gen was all that great. But you do have some of my favorites, like Genesis or All Good Things, of course. But then you got some real duds. Cam, Journey's End.
Yeah.
You know.
I actually said I think TNG might be my least favorite season seven.
All Good Things versus Endgame.
There's no competition in terms of the highs.
I know. But like, do you think that just the inclusion of such an amazing finale is not enough to elevate that season?
I don't know.
I think Voyager season seven is there's not as many low lows as we get in Next Gen, but I think the highs are pretty dang high.
I agree. Like, the highs of TNG Season 7 are really great. You know, I love Attached and Phantasms and Parallels and Lower Decks. But, oh, man.
Sub Rosa.
There we go. You know, you got Sub Rosa. You got Masks. Dark Page.
Yeah, you're listening to all my favorites.
Oh, Gambit. I can't stand Gambit. and Firstborn. Even Preemptive Strike. I mean, these are... One of the things I hated the most about TNG was near the end, where they had these episodes that were meant as like farewells to characters. So you had the Wesley one, Journey's End, then you had the Preemptive Strike, which said goodbye to Ro. These were not well written episodes. It felt like they were just trying to, you know, write out as many characters as they could at the end. So yeah, I agree. Like, there's great episodes, and the finale is probably the best finale of any of the Star Trek series. Probably. We'll have to decide that when we do our revisit for that episode.
Sure,
but it's a phenomenal hour and a half of television, but I just have a hard time ranking it over Voyager, which I think maintains a decent level of consistency in season seven. I don't think it's hitting the pits of Masks or, you know, Dark Page.
Okay. Well, I would still, if I'm on that Desert Island Cam, I need to take me my Next Gen Season 7 Blu-rays with me as opposed to Voyager Season 7 DVDs. Who even watches DVDs anymore?
Okay, I might take the Blu-ray set just because it has great documentaries on the Season 7 TNG Blu-ray set. So if I can include the documentaries, I'll put TNG over Voyager. But
fair enough. Okay, sir. I think that wraps it up for this episode.
I only have one question for you, Tyler.
Go for it, sir.
We've listed sort of our favorite seasons. If you had to take one season of Star Trek to a desert island, out of these ones you've ranked as your favorites, which would it be?
I pause only because there's some pretty dang good ones to choose from. Ultimately, yeah. God, Cam, I'm
putting you on the spot.
You know, good. I'm not gonna like.
This is going into the canon as your all-time favorite season of Star Trek.
Man, you're torturing me. I'm really split between DS9 Season 5 and Season 6. I'd probably go Season 6, I think.
Profit and Lace, right?
Oh, obviously, yeah. Okay, I'll just say DS9 Season 6. What about you, sir?
TOS Season 2.
Okay.
To me, like, there's so many fantastic, iconic episodes in there. I would never get bored because what I love about TOS is that, you know, it bounces around so much in variety of what you're seeing. And that season, you're getting two great comedy episodes, of course, in Tribbles and also A Piece of the Action, as well as like Doomsday Machine, a lot of the great exciting episodes, A Mock Time, just so much, just brilliant character stuff. To me, like, that is a season of variety.
I also just realized I was very torn between Season 5 and 6 of DS9. Even though I chose Next Gen Season 5 over DS9 Season 5.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I'll tell you the ones that I was torn over. If it had to be one season, it would be either Season 4 of Enterprise, Season 5 of Next Gen, Season 5 of DS9, or Season 6 of DS9. Those are the four that I've just like, don't make me choose my children.
Right.
You know. So... All right, Cam.
Okay, well, I think on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Send your thoughts and feedback to subspacetransmissionspod@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite seasons of Star Trek were and what were your least favorite. Were we crazy for not, championing, I don't know, TNG Season 2?
Yeah, we're the crazy ones.
Okay, Tyler, what are we doing next week?
We will be doing a rewatch of the series premiere episode of Star Trek Voyager. That is Caretaker Parts 1 and 2. Hoping to land a special guest for that one. It should be a great one for us to... Cam, it's been a while. It's probably been like at least 6, 7, 8 years maybe since I've watched Caretaker. So I'm looking forward to diving into this once more.
Right. Me too. It's been not too long since I watched it, but I'm always interested to rewatch the premieres after going through the whole series. Because you kind of look at them with different eyes.
Yeah, you know, I actually, if I complete like a series, then I will go ahead and do that. Because you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, because I really enjoyed watching the Deep Space Nine premiere not too long ago with Mike Hager. And I did not enjoy it the first time I watched it.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see if Caretaker takes on, you know, a little bit of added power knowing where the series goes. Okay, so you can also reach us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam, V as in Voyager doesn't have any best seasons, but it's not all bad, folks. Smith.
You can find me at Reportin, that's R-A-P-O-R-T-O-N, N as in, no, I changed my mind, DS9 Season 5.
Okay, so until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.